The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on Newstalk.
More than 1 in 10 travellers die by suicide, and they say nothing is being done to help their community. So today, travellers protested outside the Dáil to call for more action by the government. I'm joined now by Maggie McDonough, member of the National Traveller Mental Health Network. Maggie, can you give us a sense of what you were hoping to achieve today?
Hi, Antoine. Thanks very much for having me on. I suppose today's protest was the next one from last year. So we had a protest on International Human Rights Day last December. This protest was on accountability. So the accountability, who is accountable for the lack of support for travellers? Like within my community, the suicide rate from the Ireland Travel Health Study stats in 2010 stated that the suicide rate within the travel community was 7 times higher than that of the national average. We know anecdotally from working within the community and me as community member and seeing it that it has really, really increased over the last 14 years since that study was done. There is, you know, there's many reports been done. There's many promises being made, but absolutely nothing has really been implemented. And in the support structure for travellers to try to support traveller mental health. And we are in a mental health crisis.
And sorry, just to be clear, Maggie, because there are a series when you look at the kind of numbers by comparison between the settled community and the traveller community across a series of criteria, the traveller community gets the worse end of the deal. So whether it's overall life expectancy, whether it's levels of poverty, whether it's levels of education, are you hoping to get all of that addressed or are you focusing exclusively on the mental health issues?
Well, within the National Mental Health Network, we're focused on mental health, but again, there's different issues affecting travellers' mental health. So, as you know, an overall view, there's, you know, accommodation leads into that, education leads into that. There's various different things that are leading to the negative and the impact on people's mental health, and again on the suicide rates. You know, as a population that makes up 1% of the entire population of Ireland, you know, we have unbelievable rates of, again, as I said, suicide, of mental health issues, of education, access to education, third level education.
So give us a couple of the specifics of what you want done.
Well, I suppose there was a promise from the government and previous governments for a specific mental health action plan that has never come to fruition. You know, we've been promised so many supports and so many things to be implemented over the years that never has been, and successive governments.
But like what?
So again, as I said, a culturally specific mental health action plan for services to be culturally aware. To understand, you know, the health, like if you look at the disparities between the communities, you know, traveller men die 15 years younger than their settled counterparts, you know, traveller women 11 years younger. Why are we dying sooner? Not only that, you know, again, and I keep going back to the suicide rate, because this is a huge crisis. It's an epidemic within my community at the moment. And not at the moment, like, this is ongoing. You know, we've had members of the community as young as 9 pass away from suicide, as well as members of the community that were, you know, in their 60s and 70s die by suicide. There is definitely a lack of culturally appropriate services for travellers.
We'll just go back for a minute. You've used the cultural phrase a couple of times. The first instance is where you said culturally aware mental health services. What does culturally aware mental health services mean?
Well, I suppose when I say that, it's as a community, there is an awful lot of systemic and ingrained prejudice within Irish society against my community.
Within the mental health services?
Well, within every structure, to be honest, you know, and I've experienced that personally myself. There is this prejudice against travellers that we are a certain kind of people, or we will do certain things, and you know, I haven't got the strength to carry the weight of 48,000 people, nor should I expect anyone else to, on top of their shoulders. You are an individual, you know, and I think that when you try to access services and when you're hit with prejudice first off, and that can be from, you know, the initial conversation on the phone to make that appointment, it prevents people from accessing services in the future.
But sorry, let me understand this, Maggie, because I don't want you to mention obviously any specific service provider, but reading between the lines, are you saying that when a member of the travelling community makes contact with mental health services and looks for help, that an innate bias in the people who are giving the services means that they're not helped?
What I wouldn't say with all services. I would say that there is a high rate within Irish society of ingrained prejudice And I would say that people who are the first point of call for travellers when they're accessing services, not everyone, as I stated, but you know, a vast majority of travellers accessing services would be hit with initial prejudice. And I suppose the lack of, and even when it's not prejudice, it's lack of cultural awareness and understanding that, you know, we do have a separate culture. We do have separate ways of living. And I suppose that lack of cultural awareness
How does that fit then in a mental health intervention? If you're dealing with a mental health professional, what are the kind of things that if they don't fully understand or empathise with traveller culture, they could get wrong?
Well, I suppose, you know, it's different because there's diversity within the traveller community as well. You know, kind of in certain instances, and again, this isn't all instances, but in certain instances, if a traveller woman was to access mental health services and possibly there was a male doctor or psychiatrist that they were going to be meeting, that might prevent them in accessing that service. You know, maybe the underlying issues and experiences of that community member when they're accessing services. So there might have been previous, you know, negative experiences that they have gone through when accessing health services or mental health services, that would have to be noted and understood when travellers are accessing services.
You mentioned as well as the mental health services issue, the general health services, and you quoted those statistics about female members of the travelling community dying 11 years younger than their settled equivalents and male members of the traveller community dying 15 years younger than their settled equivalents. To what are the main factors that you attribute that cause? Why does that happen, do you think?
Well, again, and this doesn't speak for everybody, but this is you know, kind of what I've seen through my own work. It's the lack of appropriate accommodation, the lack of supports when it comes to around education, around you know, kind of the different aspects of life and kind of the quality of life that travellers face and the inequalities that we face as a community. And people don't generally see that. You know, like we see what's coming up in the media. We see, you know, kind of, I suppose, the negative stuff kind of being sensationalised within the media. And again, I go back to the thing I said, for me personally, like, I don't have the strength to carry 48,000 people on my shoulders. And I live my life and I you know. But again, I think that what's leading into that is the lack of services, the lack of support, travellers trying to access services at crisis point. So they're not accessing when an issue is arising at first. Because of, I don't know, maybe past fear, trauma, whatever it is. And when they do try to access services, maybe there are blocks put in place and it prevents them in future to access them. And again, that leads into, you know, kind of the lack of quality of life, a reduced quality of life. And again, into the suicide rates that we see.
I mentioned earlier on, Maggie, that you were protesting outside the Dáil today. Having completed that protest, are you optimistic that it will make any difference?
Well, Antoine, I tell you, I felt such a buzz today, such a buzz in relation to seeing so many travellers there from right across the country. So the National Traveller Mental Health Network is national, and we have members and we have allies from right across the country. To see so many faces there from you know, nearly every county in Ireland was really, really positive and really strong. And, you know, you had that sense of you know, this is the start of change. I suppose from that, we tried to deliver a letter in, which we did so back in December of last year, and it was accepted at the reception area. We were refused today. We were refused that, you know, they don't accept post. And I say it to them, I actually had delivered a letter in December of last year, and it was accepted. And they said, well, the rules have changed. And I suppose for me, it was the reality kind of hit about that, you know, that block being put up in place, that refusal being put up in place, and the reality of the situation that we can only get so far as a community until blocks are put in place. Now, look, I am optimistic in the hope that the Taoiseach and this government will, you know, kind of sit down with us and speak to us and look at the issues that are affecting travellers and what can be done together as a collective to produce positive change.
Okay.
For the community.
Maggie, thank you very much. That is Maggie McDonough, who is member of the Traveller National Mental Health Network. 53106 if you want to get in touch with the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.